Welcome back to the Deep Dive. This week, we are getting into something incredibly personal and really timely for all of us. We are diving deep into Pastor Kent Wagner's message from this weekend, All In, moving from anchor to opportunity.
That's right. And our whole mission today is really about prep work. Since today is Connect Group sign-up day, we want to equip you.
Yeah.
So when you get into your 2026 group, you're ready to have a real deep discussion about this stuff.
Exactly. We want to go beyond just the bullet points and get to those, you know, those aha moments that really create change. This dive is meant to set the tone for your whole semester.
Okay, so let's start where he started, with the foundation.
Colossians.
Yeah, Colossians chapter 1, Paul's prayer for the church.
And what Kent pulled out of that prayer was so critical. It's not just, you know, God, show me your will. It was so much more specific.
Right. Paul prays that God would fill them with the knowledge of his will. And not just knowledge, but through all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's a really robust thing to ask for.
But it's the why that matters, the so that.
Exactly. It's not about becoming smart. The whole point is practical. It's so that we can live a life worthy of the Lord.
Bearing fruit, being strengthened, having patience. It's knowledge that actually does something.
Which is where he connected it to our participation, like giving and volunteering.
Oh, yeah. That hit me hard. The idea that we can see it as drudgery.
Right. Or like a tax you have to pay.
If you see it that way, you've completely missed the point. He said God doesn't want something from you. He wants something for you.
Which is the life you find when you join what God is already doing.
And that just reframes everything. It turns participation into purpose. That's being all in.
And you see it in the small things, right? The announcements.
Yeah, like the green beans for MN House or the starting point gathering. Those are the little moments where you practice this.
Absolutely. But, you know, knowledge is one thing. You need relationships to actually live it out when things get hard.
Which brings us right to Connect Groups and why sign-up day is so, so important.
He didn't just call it the best way to form friends.
No, he said it was spiritually non-negotiable.
Yeah, he was serious. He gave that reality check. Your life will not always be all together.
That hospital scenario he painted was so stark.
It really was.
He said, if you're in the hospital, you don't really want him showing up. Because that means things are really bad.
Right. You want the people you've been doing life with every week. Your Christian brothers and sisters who already know what's going on.
That's the difference between an acquaintance and like real spiritual family.
It is. And that's what a connect group is supposed to become.
Which is why that testimonial from the Beagles was so perfect.
Oh, yeah. Haley and her husband, their story is key for anyone who's feeling a little hesitant today.
They almost didn't sign up. The classic fear, right? I don't know anyone.
And now, 2 years later, what do they say?
Some of the best friends we've ever made. And what I loved is that those friendships stuck, even when they moved to different groups.
It shows the structure works. It builds real, lasting connections.
So if you're listening, and maybe you tried a group and it just wasn't the right fit, Kent basically gave us permission.
Permission to try again.
Exactly. Sign up for a new one. The semester structure is built for that.
Yeah.
It's okay to find the group where you can really connect.
That freedom is so important. Okay, so let's get to the heart of the message. The big pivot.
From anchor to opportunity. This is where he got incredibly transparent.
I mean, I was floored when he started breaking down the numbers.
The reality of our building, we're in an old Walmart that was built for 1,300 people.
And on a good Sunday, we're at what, 500? Maybe 700?
We're carrying the whole maintenance load.
Yeah.
25 air conditioning units.
When he said it costs $6,000 to fix one of those,
yep.
That just puts it in perspective.
It's a crushing burden. And then you add in losing the rent from Providence Christian Academy.
$20,000 a month. Just gone.
You can see why he called the building an anchor tied around our neck.
And here's where he got really raw. He confessed that the hardest thing for him in ministry was fighting the urge to grow the church just to
keep a stupid building. I couldn't believe he said that.
Me neither. He called the whole sermon his repentance.
Yeah. For not dreaming about what God wanted to do with the place, for just trying to survive.
That takes so much courage for a leader to admit.
It really does.
And that confession led to the pivot point, the divine reframing.
The conversation with the older pastor.
Who just cut through all the financial stress with one simple question.
But what does God want you to do with it?
Boom. That one question changed everything.
And it took him right to the parable of the talents.
Yep, Matthew 25. He said he realized he was acting like the wicked, lazy servant.
Burying the talent.
And the talent was the building itself. He was burying this massive asset out of fear.
Fear of what we didn't have Instead of focusing on what God had already given us, the building wasn't the curse.
The fear of using it was the curse.
And that's a question for all of us in our Connect groups. What small talents are we burying because we're afraid to fail?
Right. The big takeaway was that God wants us to take a swing for the kingdom. He'd rather see us try and miss than not swing at all.
So we have to stop seeing the building as a problem and start seeing it as this huge, unique tool.
Which leads to the vision, the mountain we're supposed to be climbing.
Multiplication.
Exactly. The goal isn't just to fill the seats. The goal is to see more people in Georgetown and beyond going to heaven than to hell.
And he laid out these specific rivers and valleys, these dreams that are bubbling up now that the perspective has shifted.
And this is the future. This is what we need to get behind. The first big swing.
The Christian Counseling Center.
Yes. Using that huge unused space in the back, that part that looks like a prison, as he said.
Can you imagine that space being used every single day of the week for healing? Pointing people to Jesus through professional counseling?
That's leveraging the asset. That's multiplication.
And then there's the expanded ministry to people in need. Free health clinics, big food drives.
He even mentions specialized ministry for foster families and kids with medical issues. I mean, these are huge strategic dreams.
And to do that, you need the facility upgrades. Moving the playground, expanding the kids' ministry, turning that disgusting old Walmart space into something that can actually be used.
Like a sports area or a dedicated kids' zone, it turns dead weight into ministry space.
And he also mentioned hiring a project manager.
Which is critical. You need someone to handle the logistics so we can be smart about taking these risks. And long-term, multiplying leaders, sending people out.
So the bottom line for every Connect group is this. These visions aren't just for Kent. They're for all of us.
Right. We have to get off the sidelines, which is where he brought in that football analogy.
Stop eating chili dogs in the stands and get ready to hit for the kingdom.
This is where it gets personal. He gave us three practical, hittable steps. This needs to be the core of our conversations this semester.
First one, take extreme ownership.
Stop saying it's the pastor's job or the elder's job.
Fill your hole. Find your area of responsibility and own it.
And he gave such simple examples. Like Jason, who shows up early to set up the offering buckets.
Or Urschel, who uses his gift of gab to make sure people feel seen and loved.
You use whatever God gave you, your voice, your mind, your time, right where you are.
The second one was actively pray and play a zone.
I love this one. It's about shifting your focus from yourself.
Right.
You know, complaining about the music or the sermon length.
Right. To other people. We all sit in the same area every week. He challenged us to get to know the people who sit near us.
Play your zone. Pray for them. And not just in the church, but at your job, in your neighborhood.
God put us in those specific places for a reason.
Exactly.
And the third call to action. Give to translate dollars into life change.
This brings it full circle. Giving is what fuels the vision. It lets the church say yes to these big dreams like the counseling center instead of just no, because we're trying to pay the bills.
The prayer at the end of the service was so powerful. It felt like a collective commitment.
It did. Everyone standing up, praying out loud for the community, for the leadership, for the money to come in.
And for personal repentance. For all the ways we've held back from God.
That was our all-in moment as a church.
So as we go out and sign up for groups today, the whole shift is from fear, from burying this talent to faith, to taking strategic risks to multiply the kingdom.
And don't forget the visual he gave us, that kingdom impact meter.
The black display with the green ping pong balls. I love that.
Every time you have that conversation or you pray for someone or you use your gift, you drop a ball in. It's a physical reminder that we're all making an impact.
One small step at a time.
So here's the final thought. If our building really is a massive talent God has given us, according to our ability, and he wants us to multiply it, then what does that demand from your prayer life this semester? What is the one specific opportunity on that dream list, the counseling center, the foster care ministry, whatever it is, that you will commit to praying for every single week in your new Connect group, knowing that real kingdom impact requires all of us in a radical partnership?